Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Yuma Yudzayin. We begin at the second line from the top of the Amud. Now, we had a stiro between a Mishnah in Maseches Tamid and a Mishnah in Maseches Midos as to the exact location of Lishkas Hatzloim, which was where they kept the pre-inspected behemoths, which were designated for the Korban Tamid. Now, what we know for sure is that this Lishka was located within this larger Lishkas Beis Hamoiked, which was an unroofed large room. And in each one of its four corners, there was another room, a Lishka. One of those rooms was Lishkas Hatzloim. Now, in which corner was it? We have a machlekes, a stira between two Mishnayos. The Mishnah Maseches Tamid describes it as being situated in the Marav Tzofin corner of the Lishkas Beis Hamoiked. Whereas in the Mishnah in Midos, we have it described as being in the Marav Dorim corner of Lishkas Beis Hamoiked. So which one was it? Earlier the Gemara suggested that perhaps it's Machlekes Tanoim. Each Mishnah represents a different Shita. Now the Gemara will present another way to answer the Kasha, in which case it will turn out that there really isn't a Machlekes. They're both describing the same exact location. Depends on perspective. It depends from which direction you're coming. It's really an optical illusion. Says the Gemara two lines from the top of Ada Breder of Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishka, this Lishkas Hatzloim, Aksuye Miktsaya, was actually close to both sides, to Tzofen and to Dorim. It wasn't exactly in the corner. It was somewhere along that Marav side, and close to each side. And this way it appeared to the fellow coming from Tzofen like it was on the other side, on the Dorim corner of Marav. And the fellow coming from Dorim, to him it appeared like it's only on the other side, by Tzofen. But the Osim, it's Tzofen, the fellow coming from Tzofen, Mischazi Lebedorim, it would appear to him as though it's in the Dorim corner of Marav. But the Osim Bedorim, and the fellow arriving from Dorim, Mischazi Lebedorim, it would appear to him like the Lishka is all the way in the Tzofen Marav corner. So it's an optical illusion, but in reality, it wasn't in either corner. It was somewhere along the wall. Umistavra. It would seem logical. It was actually closer to Dorim. It was more in Marav Dorim than in Marav Tzofen. First, let's take a look at Rashi here. So we have the wide lines of Rashi, and it's about in the middle of the wide lines. Rav Ada Bar Yitzchak Amar, Ha Lishkas Hatzloim, Aktsuye Mektsaya, B'shtei Mektsoyes Niris, would be seen close to both corners. Sha'arukahi, it was a longer type of room meant to contain the animals. Vayimedes b'marav, it was at the marav side. Umarechas l'tzadat tzofen v'dorim, and would stretch over, extend over to tzofen and dorim. Ad korev l'mektsoyes shemekan mekan, rather close to the side of dorim and the side of tzofen. And that's what set up the confusion. The asim et tzofen mischazile, when one is coming from tzofen, it appears to him shemeshuch l'tzad dorim. Yeah, he says, oh, it's pulled more over to Dorim, because he's coming towards it. It looks like it's on the other side. The fellow who's coming from Dorim, to him it appears as though it's pulled over to Tzofen. It appears that the true correct location was closer to Dorim than to Tzofen. Even the town of Tamid really agrees that it was more in the Dorim corner than the Tzofen corner. But when he describes that as being in Maravis finest corner, it's simply reflecting his direction from which he's arriving. To him, it appears like it's all at the Tzofen corner of Marav, but in reality, it was alongside the Marav wall and closer to Dorim than to Tzofen. Meaning, since it was closer to Dorim, and we know that there was a Lishka situated in each one of those four corners, so this Lishkas Hatzloim, which was in reality closer to the Dorim corner of the Marav, rather than the Tzofen corner of Marav, it allowed for another room, which was actually situated exactly at the corner of Marav Tzofen, and so on and so forth. Going along the corners, each corner had another room. Back to the Gemara. Who mistaver the Maravitz Remus Havoi, it seems plausible that this Lishkas Atloim, which ran alongside the Marav wall, was actually closer to Dorim, and it allowed for another room at the Marav Tzofin corner. How do we know this? Mimai. Because actually we had another kasha, another stira between both mishnas. Midira minon lechem aponim, alechem aponim, umishanin. We actually had a stira between the Mishnah and Tamid, and the Mishnah Midrash regarding the exact location of the lechem aponim room, which also occupied a corner of that lishkas beis hamikdash. Where was that room? Was it Mizrach Tzafin corner or Mizrach Dorim corner? Now, the Mishnah and Tamid, which seemed up to this point to be described in the Lishkas Atloim as situated in the Marav Tzafin corner, that's what we thought originally. And then the Mishnah goes down the list. There were four Lishkas situated in four corners. So you begin with Lishkas Atloim, which was presumably in Marav Tzafin corner. And we assume that when we go down a list, just like we spoke about when you surround the Mizbeach, you go derech yimin, you go towards your right, following your right hand, meaning when you're facing that Lishkas Beis HaMoked, let's view it from the outside. You're going around that square from the outside, and you're facing it. So you follow your right hand, which leads you to go, let's say, going along Marav, it leads you to make a sort of left turn over to Dorim, because again, you're facing the room, you're facing the square, you're facing the structure, and you're going to be following your right hand, which is going to take you from Marav to Dorim, and then you're going to go along Dorim, and then make that turn over to Mizrach, and over to Tzafin, all along following your right hand, Derech Yemin. So if the Lishkas Atloim took you from the corner of Marav and Tzafin, you went over to your next stop, which was Marav Dorim, the next Lishka on the list, and then the third Lishka on the list will take you to Dorim Mizrach, and the final destination, which is the fourth Lishka on the list, in the Meseches Tamid Mishnah, which was Lishkas Lechem Aponim, that was Mizrach Tzafin. So according to that Mishnah, Lechem Aponim was situated at the Mizrach Tzafin corner. Okay. However, according to the Mishnah Midos, where was the Lishka, where they would bake Lechem Aponim, was in a different corner. The Mishnah clearly says it was in Mizrach Dorim. How do we reconcile this stira? So being that we came up with the solution, we rearranged the rooms here, we repositioned the Lishkas Atloim, that's going to provide a solution for this question as well. Again, says the Gemara, it seems that this Lishkas Atloim, which was alongside the Marav, was leaning more towards Marav Dorim, umistavad the Marav's Dorim Savoy, which allowed for another room at that corner of Marav Tzafin, because this room was pulled over to Marav Dorim, so it allowed another Lishka at the other corner, Marav Tzafin, and that somehow would provide a solution to the next tier. Mimai, how do we know that it was so? Midiraminon lechem aponim, al lechem aponim umishaninon, since we had a stira, a kasha, from the way Mishnah and Tamid describes the lechem aponim location, as opposed to the way the Mishnah and Midos describes this location. Umishaninon, and we provide a solution as follows. Amar Rav Huna bar Rav Yehoshua. It depends how you're walking. Mar kachashav derech yamin, umar kachashav derech smoil. The Mishnah in Tamid is going derech smoil, not following the procedure of following your right hand, etc. He's going to go derech smoil. We'll see soon why he chose that route. But that's the pshat in the Mishnah in Tamid. He is going along the, walking along the Lishkas Beis HaMoked, following his left hand. Whereas the Mishnah in Midos is following his right hand, derech yamin. Which means like this. We have the Lishkas Beis HaMoked. We have Marav on top, Tzafin on the right, Dorim on the left, Mizrach on bottom. We have the Lishkas HaTzloim, which we've now determined as being somewhere between Tzafin and Dorim, alongside the Marav wall, and we determined that it was actually closer to Dorim. It was technically sort of in the Marav Dorim corner, which allowed for another room at Marav Tzafin. Now, the Mishnah in Talmud tells us we have four rooms, four lishkas situated in all four corners of that lishkas Beis HaMoked. Beginning, I'll count from the lishkas Atloim. Now, if technically lishkas Atloim occupied the Marav Dorim corner, as we've just established, we're not going to go derech yamin. We're going to go derech smoil. So picture yourself facing this square, this lishkas based on this entire structure, standing on the outside of it and facing it, facing the lishkas atlaim, on the Maariv side. Now you'll follow your left hand, derech smol. In which direction are you going to go? To Tzafon, over to Tzafon. So lishka number one on your list will be lishkas atlaim. Go over to Maariv Tzafon, that's lishka number two. Then you can go over alongside Tzafon, because again you're following your left hand. So going along Tzafon takes you to Mizrach. Now you're at the Mizrach Tzafon corner, that's your third stop, your third lishka. And then you swing over to Mizrach, following your left hand again, all the way over to the Mizrach Darim corner. Now you've ended up at your fourth stop, at the fourth lishka, which was described in Mishnah and Tamen as being Lechem HaParim. It turns out that according to this configuration, even the Mishnah and Talmud realizes that the Lechem HaParim was in Mizrach Darim corner, which is exactly how it was described by the Mishnah and Midas. So again, this was because we allowed ourselves to shift Lishkas Atlaim over. Instead of it being Maariv Tzafon, no, it was an optical illusion. It appeared to him like it was Maariv Tzafon because he was coming from the other side, from Darim. So he thought it was all on the other side, but technically it was Maariv Darim corner. It was alongside the wall, but closer to Darim. In which case, it was another Lishka in the actual corner of Maariv Tzafon. Another Lishka in Mizrach Tzafon. And the fourth Lishka, the final destination, the fourth Lishka on this Tana's list was Lechem HaParim, which was actually Mizrach Darim Kwan. Now, the Mishnah Midas was going the other way. That's why the Mishnah Midas tells us, well, the first Lishka, which was in Maariv Darim, was Lishka Satlaim. And the next Lishka, which was Lechem HaParim, was in Mizrach Darim. Why, according to him, was it the second stop on his journey? Because he was going the other direction, Derech Yimin. Derech Yimin means that if you're facing the Lishka Satlaim from the outside, you're standing on the outside of this Beis HaMikdash structure, you're standing on the Maariv side, facing the structure, facing the Lishka Satlaim, and you follow your right hand, Yimin. That takes you over to Darim. Then you turn around Darim, you follow the Darim over along your right hand, along the Yimin, and you follow your right hand to Mizrach. So that's the next stop on your journey. The second Lishka was Lechem HaParim, exactly as described in the Mishnah Midos. And Lechem HaParim's room was situated in Mizrach Darim. So now we've answered all the steers. We actually had two questions. One regarding the exact location of Lishkas HaTzloim. In one Mishnah, it was situated in Maariv Darim. In the other Mishnah, seemed to be situated in Maariv Tzafon. The Gemara responded, no, really, all agree was Maariv Darim. It was somewhere in the middle, and it appeared to that Tana as though it's in Maariv Tzafon, but in reality, it was pulled closer to Maariv Darim, so that technically where that Lishka was located. The second kasha was regarding the location of the Lechem HaParim room. According to the Mishnah and Talmud, it was the fourth item in the list, in which case it seemed to be elsewhere than described by the Mishnah and Midos, which puts it at Mizrach Darim. The Gemara responds, they both hold it was Mizrach Darim, it just depends from which direction you're coming. So Marka Chasha Derech Yimin, the Mishnah in Midos, which lists the Lishkas Lechem HaParim as the second item on the list, was because he was coming Derech Yimin. He began up the Lishkas Atloim and followed his right hand over to Darim and over to Mizrach. We ended up Lechem HaParim on a second stop. Marka Chasha Derech Smoil, the Mishnah in Talmud, who began up at Lishkas Atloim, but took the other route, went Derech Smoil all the way around to Tzafon, to Mizrach, and all the way to Mizrach Darim for his final destination, the Mishkas Lechem HaParim. Says the Gemara, "E Amar Shloimeh Maariv Darim Savay." Well, this works well if you say the Lishkas Atloim was technically in the Maariv Darim corner, which allows for another room at the Maariv Tzafon corner. And according to Mishnah and Talmud, that would be his second Lishka on his list. And then over to Mizrach Tzafon, which was the third item on the list. And the fourth Lishka was Mizrach Darim, which was Lechem HaParim. Now everything works. Hainu de Metaretz. Lechem HaParim, Lechem HaParim. This provides a proper solution for the stira regarding Lechem HaParim. Elei Amr Tzfenis Maravis Havoi. But if you maintain the earlier position that the Lishka Satloim, according to the Mishnah and Talmud, was actually in Tzafon Maariv corner, not in Maariv Darim, rather in Maariv Tzafon, now you're in trouble. Seif, Seif, my terutz at Lechem HaParim. ultimately, what is going to be your solution regarding Lechem HaPanim? Because if the Lishkas HaTlaim was in Ma'arav Tzafin, according to that Shita, and then he lists four Lishkas, the fourth and final one being Lechem HaPanim, it takes you all the way around, and it's not going to end up in Mizrach Torim, actually going to be shifted over one more, and you're going to end up in Ma'arav Torim for the Lechem HaPanim, which is different than the Mishnah Midas, which described it as being in Mizrach Dorim. Elav Shmamino. This proves to us, Marvis Dreimis, Havoy Shmamino. Indeed, this is a riot. That Lishkas HaTlaim was technically in Marv Dorim. Although the Mishnah Tamei describes it as being in Marv Tzafin, it was just an optical illusion because he was coming from Dorim and it appeared to him like it was on the other side. It wasn't the Marv Tzafin corner, but really it was close to him. It was Marv Dorim, which allowed for another Lishka to actually be situated in Marv Tzafin. That was the second Lishka on his list. The third Lishka being Tzafin Mizrach, and the fourth and final one, Mizrach Dorim, which works very well with the Mishnah Midas. That also describes Lishkas Lechem HaPanim as being at the Ma'arav Dorim corner. Says the Gemara, have one more shaila. Why was he taking a left? Why was he following his left hand? Derech Smoil. Vamar Mar, haven't we learned? Kol Pina Yishata Poina Lo Yiu Ela Derech Yimin LeMizrach. When one is meant to make a turn, he's meant to turn to his right. So why is this fellow following his left hand? It only applies to avoida, for instance, circling the mezbeach for avoida purposes, etc. Here the Tana is simply describing the location of the rooms. He wasn't actually going around the lishkas b'samayked. He wasn't doing any avoida. He was just calculating for us and describing for us the exact configuration of that structure, in which case he decided to take it in the other direction, and that's fine. So in conclusion, we had two stirais regarding the location of Lishkas HaTloim and Lishkas Lechem HaPanim, and we reconciled the apparent contradiction. They're really both in the same exact location. It's all relative to the direction from which he was arriving. The Gemara continues with a reference back to the Mishnah. Kohen Gadol had special privileges throughout the year. Kohen Gadol makriv chelek barish. Kohen Gadol can choose to be makriv, the most important carbon, the most important part of the carbon. When it comes to eating, he can choose the best cut of the behemoth. That was his privilege. He gets first choice, first rights. Makriv chelek barish. How exactly does this come about that the Kohen Gadol can be makriv the most chashiv portion? Omer, he simply walks into the Beis HaMikdash and announces, Oyla zuani makriv. I'm going to be makriv this oyla, or a portion of this oyla. Mincha zuani makriv. This mincha I will bring on the mizbeach. Ketzad noitel chelek b'roish. In what way will he take the most important chelek? What way does he have first choice? Oymer chatos zuani oichel. He says, I'm going to eat this chatos. Asham zuani oichel. The same thing regarding the asham. So that's when it comes to korbanos. He can choose to be makriv the most important portion of the behema. He can take the most chashiv cut of meat of the carbon. When it comes to Shtei Alechem, which was brought on Shavuos, or Lechem HaPanim, which was actually switched every Shabbos and eaten by the Kehanim, what rights does he have when it comes to those carbonis? Says the Braiser, V'noitel Chala Mishtei Chalis. On Shavuos, where they brought two Lechems, Shtei Alechem, he can take one of two. Arba Oichamish Ma'ase Lechem HaPanim. When it comes to Lechem HaPanim, he has a privilege of taking four or five. The Gemara will explain why four or five. This is Tanakama. Rabbi Omer, lo'olam chamesh, it's always five. According to Rabbi, who always gets 50%? Why? Shenemar. V'hoysel aron l'banav. Pasuk could have said, lechem panim goes to the kohanim. Why specify la'aron u'l'banav? It's coming to teach us, mechtzel aron or mechtzel l'banav. Aron, who is the kohen gadol, has the privilege of taking half, 50%. Of the Lechem HaPanim. Lechem HaPanim was consisted of 12 chalis, and he'll get 5. Why 5? Why is that considered half? The Morrison will tell us somehow 2 were not part of this configuration. So we have 10, and the Aaron has a privilege of taking half, which is 5. So again, the Brisa began by describing the Karbonis, then moved on to the Shtei HaLechem brought on Shavuos. He has a right to take 1 of 2, 50%. When it comes to Lechem HaPanim, Tanakama says 4 or 5. Rabbi says 5 because we have a pasuk which grants the Kohen Gadol equal rights. He has the same value as all the Kohanim combined. So they take whatever is there, they split it into two parts, he gets half, and the rest is split amongst all the other Kehanim. Hogof or Kasher? The brice itself is inherently difficult. First you begin by saying, Amris, Noitel Chala, Achas Mishtei Chalas. When it comes Shvois, we have a total of two Chalas, brought with the two Kvasim. Kangal gets 50%, one of two. Whose Shita is this? Mani, Rebbe. It's apparently Rebbe's Shita, the Amar Palga Shokel. He says, Kangal gets half. Rabbanan didn't hold to that. They say he gets four or five. He doesn't get five. He doesn't have that same value as all the other Kohanim combined. So apparently when we say that the Kohen Gadol takes one of two Chalis, this is Rabbi Shita. He gets 50%. Fine. Let's move on to the next part of the price. By Lechem HaPanim, he gets Arba, Eichamish, Mimas, and Lechem HaPanim. Four or five. He doesn't get half. Four or five. Asan Rabbanan. This is following Shita's Rabbanan, the Amri. Shakal Palga. He doesn't get 50%. He gets a bit less than half. So here we have Rabbanan Shita. We began with Rebbe. Now we have the Rabbanan. Ema Seifa. Let's proceed to the next part of the Brice. Rebbe Eimer. Lailam Chamish. He always gets 50%. He always gets half of the Lechem HaPanim. Five. So now first part of the Brice was Rebbe. He gets one of two Chalits, 50%. Next part of the Brice, which maintained that he gets less than 50%, is Rabbanan. Next part of the Brisa, which tells us that he gets half, that's Rebbe again. Does that make sense? Reisha, the Sefer Rebbe. The first and last part of the Brisa is Rebbe. Umetios Rabbanon, middle is Rabbanon. Back and forth and back. Rabbi. Reisha Umetios Rabbanon. The truth is that the Reisha is also Rabbanon. Not only the middle part of the Brisa, but even the first part, which says that he gets one of two Chalas on Shavuos, is Rabbanon Shita. Why is he getting 50%? Umoid Rabbanon. Rabbanon agree in this case, but Prusa, that if it entails giving him a broken piece, a slice of challah, that doesn't make sense. Lav oirach aro, it's not derech eretz, lemeis v'lekein gadol, to grant him a piece of a challah. Therefore, we sacrifice the honor of the other kehanim, and we sort of equate him with them, we give him one complete challah, a shalom. That's the first din of the braisa. When it comes shvuos, he gets a full challah, not because technically he has a right to take 50%, but just practically. The alternative is breaking up a challah, which is not covered for him. We give him a whole challah. That's Rabbanan. And then the price again continues. Moshita's Rabbanan by Lechem HaPanim. He gets only 4 or 5, which is less than 50%. Then the price concludes with Rabbi Shita. It's always half. Let's take a look at Rashi. It's going to be around, somewhere around the middle of the Amid. V'amar mar mishtei chalas. Mishtei chalas shel atzeres. Speaking about two chalas of Shavuos, he gets one of two. When it comes to Lechem HaPanim, Arba Eichamish, B'chol Shabbos V'Shabbos. Ulkamim Mefarish, the Morsum will explain, what's this 4 or 5? Must say Arba, must say Chamish. Rebbe, however, maintains, Ken Gadol has a right to take 50%. V'hoysa L'Aron U'L'Bonav, B'lechem HaPanim K'siv. We learn Mechza L'Aron. For Ken Gadol, and Mechza for the sons, so we take the entire supply, and half of it goes to the Ken Gadol, and the rest to the other Kehanim. Now, why is he only going to get 5? We have 12. It would seem that 50% of 12 is 6. V'afu b'shein sh'neim asur, yesh ben sh'tei chalois, sh'einen mischalkis. Can the farsh v'asur, more soon we'll explain, 2 out of those 12 are not within the arrangement of chalukah. It's actually given to the new mishmar as payment for their troubles, for closing up the doors. We'll see the gemar soon. So we have to deduct 2 of 12. Which really only gives us a starting point of 10 chalits, in which case the Kohen Gadol, according to Shita's Rebbe, gets 50%, which is 5. The Gemara began analyzing the Brisa up close. The Brisa begins that on Shavuos, the Kohen Gadol gets one of two, apparently, and following Shita's Rebbe, that he gets 50%. Then the Brisa continues. When it comes to Lechem HaPanim, he doesn't necessarily get 50%, he gets 4 or 5. Asan the Rabbanon, says Rashi, the Amri lo shakal palga, he's not entitled to half. The shakal palga, because if he would get half, he would never get less than 5. So apparently, Shita's Rabbanon. And then we conclude with Shita's Rebbe. Rebbe Yomel Oyel Chamish. So we're going back and forth. Reisha Mitzios Rabbanon. This is Abaye's response. No. The entire Brisa, the beginning and the middle is Rabbanon. The Amri Lo Shokel Palga, El Batsim Palga. Rabbanon maintained, he's not entitled to half. He gets a bit less than half. And the Svara for this, by the way, is, see, Tosa says, that unlike Rebbe, who learns from this pasuk that Aaron HaKohen gets 50% which places him in equal footing to all the other Kehanim. It would seem from the Gemara that the Pshat, according to Rebbe, is that he's not part of the Chalukah. He doesn't split the Lechem upon him with them. He's in an entirely different class of his own. It's kind of godly. He's a Roish. He's the head of the Guf, like the head of the body. It's not considered like another Aver. He controls the whole body. He's in a different realm. Kengadol was not part of the Chalukah. He gets 50%. That's his cut. And then the rest is split amongst the Kehanim. When he gets 50%, you're putting him above everybody else. He's not splitting it with them. He's entitled to his share, which is 50%. And then they begin splitting amongst themselves. So it puts him above the rest in a different category. That's Rebbe Shita. We learn that from the Pasuk. Mechtzel Aaron, Mechtzel Barav. The Rabbanim maintain, it would seem from Tosfos, that it's a point of covet. The Rabbanan held that it's inconceivable to say that Kohen Gadol gets the same amount as all the other Kohanim. It's not covet that he should be equal to them. He should be shakal kineged kulam. That's why the Rabbanan preferred not to darshan the pasuk in this way. But he still gets a lot. As the Tosfos Shanim says, they learn the pasuk a bit differently. Voisel Aaron Lebanov means lav dafka, that he gets a share which is equal to all the other kohanim combined. Ella says it's shanim karv lemechza, close to half, a bit under half. You know, in today's business world, you have 49% of the corporation, you're a minority shareholder. Although you're almost 50%, almost majority. No, 49 is still considered a shareholder like everybody else. But once you have 50% or more, now you're a majority shareholder, you're half the company, it's more than just a typical shareholder. So the Rabbanim maintain the Kohen Gadol is also a shareholder. He's machalik with them, although he gets a significantly larger chelik, but it's still within the context of chalukah, of splitting and sharing it amongst the Kohanim. You don't place him in a different realm. He gets a big chelik, but it's still a chelik amongst the other chalukim. That's the svar, the reasoning, the lumdus behind the machalikis. Rebbe puts him above the rest. He's not within the chalukah altogether. And the Rabbanan say, well, he must split it with them, although he can get a rather large share. Okay, getting back to Rashi. Reisha mitzvah Rabbanan, the Amri l'shakel palgol butzer and palgol. Abai maintains the first part and the second of the part of the Braisa following Shittas Rabbanan, that the Kohen Gadol is not entitled to half. He has to get less than half. So why then is it that when it comes to shtei lechem, he's entitled to an entire lechem, one out of two? My Rabbanon love oirach ara l'mifrasei l'meisav prusik kohen gadol. Rabbanon agree. In that case, we have no choice because it's not appropriate to give him a broken piece of bread, a slice. Therefore, we give him the entire challah. So Tosfos Rambam explains that this svara of kavod kohen gadol outweighs the other svara. You're trying to avoid negating the other Kohanim by giving him equal share to all of them. Well, on the other hand, you're going to give him a broken piece, which is not covet. So we prefer giving him the entire shalem, not to step on his honor, even though it's slightly at the expense of the other Kohanim. So we're faced with the choice of whose covet to address. Certainly, Kohen Gadol takes precedence. This is Abayis Pshat, the first part of the Braisa. Where he gets one out of two shtei lechem is Rabbanon. The middle part, which says he doesn't get 50% of the chapanim, is Rabbanon once again. The price concludes with Rebbe. He always gets 50% of the lechem upon him. Now, the Rabbanon use an interesting term. He will get 4 or 5, arba or chamesh of lechem upon him. How does that work? It says the Gemara, umay arba or chamesh. What do we mean 4 or 5? 1 4 or 1 5? Explains it more like this. There is a machlekes between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda in Masechta Sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that the new Mishmar got a special bonus. See, they would switch the Mishmaris on Shabbos. The old Mishmar finished their week on Shabbos, the new Mishmar came in and began their Avodah. Now, the previous Mishmar opened all the doors and gates at the beginning of the Yom Shabbos, and the newcomers would have to lock all of them, close them up and lock them. This was a job. So we gave them a bonus for that. We gave them two chalis, which were outside the din chalukah. It was like a payment, like a fee for their work. So although we began with 12, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the true chalukah only took place with 10 remaining chalas. Whereas according to Rabbanu, no, they took all 12 and split it equally. That's how we're going to understand our price. Let's see. My arba yichamish. What do you mean 4 or 5? Le Rabbanu de Amri nichnas yonetel sheish. According to the Rabbanu maintained, there was no fee paid to the newcomers. They took the entire supply of the Chapanim and split it equally, 6 to this Mishmar, 6 to that one. Uschar Hagofais Dalsis, and payment for closing up the Dalsis, the doors, Loi Shakel, the new Mishmar would not accept payment for that. In which case, you have 12. Mishtem Esrei Boi Miflek. You have to go ahead and split up 12. And the Kohen Gadol, since he's entitled to a large portion, but not half, has to be less than half. If you begin with 12, half is 6. You can't have half. He has to have one less. But you deduct one from that half, which ends up being 5. Chamesh Shakil, the Kohen Gadol ends up with 5 chalis. So that's if you began with 12. Half is 6. You can't give him half. According to Rabbanon, deduct 1, give him 5. Little Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Nichnas Noitel Sheva, but according to Rabbi Yehuda maintains that 2 chalits were granted to the newcomers, new Mishmar, on account of their closing up the doors and the gates chore. So 2 chalits are given to them as payment, a fee for their services. Nichnas, the new Mishmar coming in, Noitel Sheva, it takes 7 chalits. Right, it began with 12. 2 is given to the new Mishmar coming in. And the remaining 10 you split between the new and the old Mishmar, giving the new Mishmar a total of 7, and the old Mishmar a total of 5. So the new Mishmar gets 7. Why? Shtayim b'schar hagofes delasais. 2 as payment for closing up the doors. V'yoytzin etel chamesh, and the previous Mishmar receives 5. In which case, 2 are really out of the configuration, out of the arrangement. 2 is a fee, payment for their job, leaving you with only 10 chalis. May eser boi miflok. We have to split. Kangal has to get his portion from 10. Half of 10 is 5. Rabbanu maintain you don't get half. But sur chadim and palgif to deduct 1 from that half. Vashokal arba, which leaves him with 4 chalis. Let's take a look at Rashi inside here. From the top of the amud. Umay arba yichamish. What do you mean? Sometimes he gets 4, sometimes he gets 5. Masai arba, masai chamish. When is it 4, when is it 5? Explains it more. The Rabbanu, the pligale, the Rabbi Yehuda, berga cholel. According to Rabbanu, disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. They hold the 12 breads are split equally. Va'amri mishmar yoytzin etel sheish, mishmar nichnas etel sheish, the outgoing as well as the incoming. Each one takes 6 chalis, no etel sheish chalis. Uschar hagafes dalsis lo shakel mishmar nichnas. The incoming mishmar will not take any payment for closing up the doors. Nimtzu kulon bois b'machlekes. Turns out that all 12 are part of the chalukah. Umechalkois v'kohen gadol cholekim shteyen. And the kohen gadol will take his portion from both the mishmaris. Umeshneim osher by miflek. And he has to take his chalek from 12. Umechzer sholem eninoitel. He can't take a complete half. Basur chadim epalki. Deduct 1 from half. Half was 6, 6 of 12. Deduct 1, chamesh shakel, which leaves him with 5 chalas. Revealed dama nichnas etel shtayim. He holds that the incoming mishmar takes 2 extra on account of his job. Below machlekes, it's out of the machlekes, out of the chaluka arrangement. Bischar shum makif, because it's payment for closing up the matzei shabbos. Dalsis hazora vechel veicha v'lishkos shepaschu b'shachros mishmar shiyotzeloi. So he's closing up all those doors. So he gets 2 on account of his troubles. Now this was an ongoing arrangement. The previous Mishmar, he realized, took 2 as well for his job. So this was an ongoing arrangement that the incoming Mishmar will take 2 extra on account of his troubles. In which case, you only have 10 to begin with, to split up. Me'eser boi miflug. The Kengadol has to split from 10, has to take his chelek from 10. She'ein hashtayim bois machlekes. Because the first 2 given as a fee were not really part of the machlek, it's not part of the arrangement here. Kischarim, it was their payment, it was their fee. So it's not considered part of the overall supply of the Chamapanim, which is split amongst the Kehanim. You first take care of business, and then you go ahead and you split the rest. So now we only have 10 to begin with. But, sir, you deduct 1 from half, the Eser. half of 10 is 5, v'shakal 4, the Kohen Gadol walks away with 4. So again, according to the Rabbanon, you don't give two as a payment. And the Gemara says, Mishtemeshri boy miflag. Kohen Gadol has to be miflag, has to take his part from the entire 12. And since he can't take half, he has to take 5. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, the incoming Mishma gets an extra 2 for his work. So you're really only left with 10. May eser boy miflag. Kohen Gadol has to split his chel, has to take his chel from 10. He can't take half. He takes only 4. So this is the first pshat in the Braisa, Abaye's pshat. The first and second part of the Braisa following Shita is Rabbonon. The reason why it takes one of the two chalis on Shavuos is because we don't want to split a chal and give it to him as a broken chal. The reason why by the Chamapanim he takes 4 or 5, well, it depends. If you start with 12, then he takes 5 because half of 12 is 6, he doesn't take half, only takes 5. If you start only with 10, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so he ends up with 1 less than half, which is 4. Continues the Gemara, Rav Amar Kula Rabbi. I maintain the entire Braisa is Rabbi. The first part which says, Kohen Gadol gets one of two chalis on Shavuos, 50%, that's Rabbi. Next part of the Braisa, Tabai Lechem Apanim, he gets 4 or 5, again that's Rabbi. V'sova L'Kerb Yehuda, he looks like a Yehuda, who grants two chalis to the incoming Mishmar. Those two are not part of the Chaluka arrangement, so you only have 10 to begin with. Now, why does he get 4 or 5? He should get 5. According to Rebbe, he's entitled to half. Oh, ve'elamai arba. Why does he get 4? Hachamish boy lemishkel. He should always get 5. Half of 10. Loikasha, the answer is like this. We have another factor to reckon with. Hadikah mishmar misakiv. One scenario is describing a case where there was a mishmar, a group of kahanim, which was misakiv. Was lingering behind, staying behind, when Yom Tov fell out near Shabbos, close to Shabbos before Shabbos, or close to Shabbos following Shabbos, in which case they didn't want to go home, they didn't have enough time, they stayed behind. In which case we have to give them something for their staying behind. They're entitled to something of Lechem Apanim. We give all those Mishmaris which decide to stay behind, or come early in advance of Yom Tov. Right, let's say Yom Tov falls out on Monday, they decide to come before Shabbos, or Yom Tov falls out, ends on Thursday and decide to stick around for next Shabbos. So all those Mishmaris get something, they get two chalits. In which case, although you began with 12, two you gave to the new Mishmar for on account of their closing the doors, locking up the Sha'arim, so you left with 10. Then you went down to 8, because two you have to give to the Mishmar Mis'akiv. In which case, Kohen Gadol comes to take his portion, 50% of 8 is only 4. Ha, the lack of Mishmar Mis'akiv. When the Braisa says he can get 5, we're speaking when there was no Mishmar Mis'akiv here. All you had was the old and the new Mishmar, who are splitting the Lechem amongst themselves. So you begin with 12, 2 is granted to the new Mishmar, in which case you left with 10, Kohen Gadol gets half, which is 5. I'ikar Mishmar Mis'akiv, Mishmoina Boil Mifuk. If you have a Mishmar Mis'akiv, so you have to give 2 to that Mishmar Mis'akiv. So although you began with 12, 2 you gave to the Mishmar locking the doors. Another 2 you gave me to the Mishmar Mis'akiv. Mishmoina Boil Mifuk. You have only 8, from which the Kohen Gadol gets his portion, V'shakal Arba, he gets half, which is 4. Ileka Mishmar Mis'akiv. If you have no Mishmar Mis'akiv, just a typical Shabbat throughout the year, Me'eser Boil Mifuk. So you're splitting from 10, because you began with 12. 2, of course, you gave to the new Mishmar for closing up the doors, leaving you with 10. V'shakal Chamish, and the Kohen Gadol gets half, which is 5. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. 6 lines from the top. Rava maintains, Kula Rebbe, the Braisa here is following Shittas Rebbe, the Omer Palgo Shokel Kohen Gadol entitled to half. V'sav L'Kab Yehuda, the Ein Ashtayim Meschakas Loyal. Number 1, he holds that 2, you give away to the incoming Mishmar, pay them a fee for their troubles. Leaving us with 10, so why does Rebbe say sometimes Kohen Gadol gets 4 or 5? What do you mean? What's 4 or what's 5? Elamai Arb. Hachamish Boil Mishkel. He should have taken 5, which is half of 10. Loikash. Hadi Mishmar Mis'akiv. Explains Rashi like this. Pa'amim Shiyom Tov Chal B'Sheni B'Shabbos. At times, Yom Tov falls out on Monday. V'yish Mishmar Maktim Abba Merav Shabbos. You'll have a Mishmar who advances, they come before Shabbos, and they stay around till Yom Tov. Shekol mishmaris boys beregel. All mishmaris come and do avoid the door yamtiv. So that's one example of a mishmar misakiv. They came in advance of yamtiv. Yamtiv fell out on Monday. They decided to come before Shabbos. Or you can have a case all the way around. Ip amim shemoytsoy yamtiv er Shabbos. Yamtiv concludes on Thursday. Vamishmaris hoychoyslim coming ber Shabbos. And on Friday, all the mishmaris go back home. But there's a mishmar that decided to stick around for Shabbos. Beish mishmar shemes akiv shom ad matzah Shabbos. Decided to linger around to stay there till matzah Shabbos. So this is another example of mishmar misakiv. Rather than coming in advance of Yom Tov, decided to stay, to delay past Yom Tov. And they happened to be there on Shabbos. Now, why are they entitled to anything? It's not really their rotation. It's not a Masechah Sukkah. Shabbos Shabbatecha Regel. When a Shabbos falls out on Yom Tov itself, Shabbos Chalamayit, Hayukol HaMishmaris Shabbos B'chiluk Lechem Aponim. All the Mishmaris who are present on Yom Tov, as we mentioned earlier, they all come to avoid on Yom Tov, they're entitled as well to take a chelik and lechem upon them. They're equally entitled. V'chein yom tov asamach l'shabbos. The same thing applies to a yom tov which hugs Shabbos, which is either right before Shabbos, or on a Friday, or right after Shabbos on a Sunday. Bein mafaneh. Shein yecholim l'shav b'shabbos l'mkamin, whether yom tov falls out on Friday, in which case the mishmaris don't have an opportunity to go back home before Shabbos, bein melachareh, or whether you have to fall out after Shabbos on Sunday. Shal karchan hemakdimu loved ver Shabbos. In that case, they can't come just to cover the Yom Tov. They have to come Friday. In that case, says Rashi, although this Shabbos isn't technically your Shabbos chalamayit, it's either a day following Yom Tov, if Yom Tov ended on Friday, or a day preceding Yom Tov. Yom Tov falls out on Sunday. Still and all, even in this case, Hoyukal Mishmaris Shabbos B'chiluk Lechem Aponim. In this case as well, the Mishmaris have all equal rights to get Lechem Aponim. Why? Because they have to be here. It's part of the Yom Tov arrangement. They have no choice. It couldn't have come any other time. So it's like the Yom Tov is extended into Shabbos. Sher Al Korchach Shoyin Shom. They have to be there for Shabbos. Varehi, says Rashi, Varehi Kishabbos Shabbateich HaRegel. This has a din as though it's a Shabbos within Yom Tov. Because Yom Tov mandates, Yom Tov requires that they be here, even during the Shabbos. So that's a rather simple halacha. Just as they have an equal right to get Lechem Aponim on Yom Tov itself, they have a right to get equal Lechem Aponim from this Shabbos, which is either the day before Yom Tov or the day after Yom Tov, because they're forced to be here for Shabbos. However, if there is a day in between, suppose Yom Tov ended on Thursday, which case technically they could have gone home for Shabbos, they didn't have to stick around. Or if Yom Tov begins on a Monday, which case they could have come Sunday, but they chose to be here for Shabbos as well. So this is not really their true entitlement. It's not really a Yom Tov Shabbos. Chal Yom Echad L'Hafzik Ben Taim. There's one day in between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Oyim Lefaneh. Whether the Yom Tov preceded the Shabbos, kigon shikola hamoyed b'chamish b'Shabbos. Yom Tov ended on Thursday, and you have one day in between Yom Tov and Shabbos, which allows for them to go back home. Oy macharei, or if Yom Tov fell out after Shabbos on a Monday, shishlo hamoyed b'sheni b'Shabbos. Yom Tov fell out on Monday, in which case technically they could have just come for Yom Tov; they didn't have to be here for Shabbos. Lo yichayu lahem lahakdim lo v'nei Shabbos. They weren't required to come before Shabbos. In that case, we don't give it the same halacha. Einon Shavos, they don't have equal rights to this Lechem Aponim as though it would be Yom Tov. Ella, rather we do as follows. We give them something. Mishmar Mesakim B'Shabbos. This Mishmar, which happens to be here, which is either being delayed or coming in advance, but is here for Shabbos. Bein Shu Mishmar Echad, Bein Shu Mishmar Sabri. Irrelevant whether we're speaking about one group of Kahanim or many Mishmaris. They still take the same two chalis and split it amongst themselves. Noitosh te chalis. So that goes off the list. We give them two. Vashar mischalkos lemishmar hayotze v'nichnas. And the rest of the chalis, we split evenly between the incoming and the outgoing mishmar, who are truly entitled to the Lechem Aponim of the Shabbos. Shizman ha-kavul, it's the Shabbos. Those mishmaris who are meant to be here this time around. Says the Pshat in the Brayse, Rabbi says the Kohen Gadol times gets 4, times at 5. And the response was, really we're starting with 12, but 2, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is granted as payment for the incoming Mishmar's job, for the fact that they had to go and close up the doors, which were opened by the previous Mishmar. So 2 are off the table, leaving us with 10. So why does he only get 4? The answer is because another 2 had to be given to these Mishmaris, who either came early or stayed around after Yom Tov. 2 we give them, leaving us with only 8 for these 2 Mishmaris, whose true rotation is this week. And 50% of 8 is 4. And that's what the Kohen Gadol walks away with. Let's get back to the Gemara. One more line. Says the Gemara, Yehach, if that's the case, that the Bryce is following Shita's Rebbe. Yehach, my Rebbe Omer Lo'ilam Chamish. Why does the Bryce conclude those words? Rebbe Omer Lo'ilam Chamish. What do you mean Lo'ilam Chamish? We just explained. Firstly, the entire Bryce was Rebbe. So why do we mention his name again? Rebbe Omer. Number 2, Lo'ilam Chamish. Kohen Gadol always gets 5. Just explain. It's not always so. Sometimes 4, sometimes 5. Kasha. We leave it as an unresolved kasha. So in summation, we discussed the chalukah of the shtei lechem on Shavuos and lechem aponim on Shabbos. We have a brisa, which tells us that by shtei lechem, Kohen Gadol takes 1 of 2. By lechem aponim, 4 or 5, the brisa concludes, Rabbi Omer Lo'ilam Chamish. We have 2 ways to explain the brisa. We have bias pshat, who tells us that the Bryce is found Shittas Rabbanon, and although Rabbanon maintain Kohen Gadol doesn't take 50%, he's meant to take a chelik with the other Kohanim. We don't put him a cut above the rest. He's part of the arrangement here. He gets a rather large chelik, but not 50%. Why then does he get 1 of the Shtei Alechem? Because we want to give him a shalom rather than a broken chal. Bryce continues, and again, Shitas Rabbanon, that Kohen Gadol cannot take 50%. So by Lechem Aponim, he gets either 4 or 5. How do we get to those numbers? Well, it depends whose Shita we're following. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that the incoming Mishmar receives 2 breads as a schar for their job, for closing up the doors which were opened by the previous Mishmar. So those 2 Lechem Aponim were not part of the Chalukah, it was a schar, leaving us with only 10 to split amongst the Kehanim. And the Kohen Gadol, being that it's not entitled to 50%, we don't give him 5, we only give him 4. When the Braisa said he gets 5, this is in line with Shitas Rabbanon, who maintain there's no such thing as paying the new Mishmar for their work. We have 12 in total, and that is meant to be distributed amongst the Kehanim. Kohen Gadol will not get half, he's meant to get less than half. So instead of 6, he gets 5. That's Shittas Rabbanon, and Rebbe says Lo'ilam Chamish, he always gets 5. Why? Because Rebbe holds 2 are given to the new Mishmar for closing up the doors, leaving us a total of 10. Kohen Gadol gets 50%, which is 5. That's Abaye's approach. Rebbe's approach is that the Braisa is following Shittas Rebbe from beginning to end. That explains why by the Shtei Alechem he gets 1 chal, it's half. Now why by the Lechem Aponim does Rebbe say sometimes 4, sometimes 5? The reason is as follows. All the Kohen Gadol is entitled to 50%, but perhaps we only have 8 to begin with. How is that? Although we had 12, 2 went to the new Mishmar, and according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, it's payment for their work. That puts us down to 10. Another 2 are given to the Mishmar Mis'akeh. We're speaking about there's a Mishmar which stayed behind after Yom Tov, or came in advance of Yom Tov, and they're entitled to 2 Lechem Aponim. So we give them 2, which brings us down to only 8. 50% is 4, which the Kohen Gadol walks away with. When Rebbe says sometimes it's 5, we're speaking when there's no Mishmar Mis'akeh, your typical Shabbos throughout the year, in which case you start with 12. 2 goes to the Mishmar Nichnas for Schar Hagofas Dalsos, leaving us with 10. Kohen Gadol walks away with half, which is 5. The question was, why is Rebbe Omer Lo'ilam Chamish? What is that? How does that come into the picture? We already discussed Rebbe at great length, and great detail. Why does the Bryce conclude Rabbi Amil Chamish? And we'll leave it cash. Okay, let's do a quick chazara. We had 2 quashas regarding the placement of the lishkas within the lishkas based on Maikit. Regarding the location of lishkas atzloim, was it in this corner or that corner? Regarding lishkas lechem apon, was it here, was it there? The Gemara concluded there really is no machlekes. All agree, lishkas atzloim was in the Marav Darim corner. Lishkas Lechem Apanim was in the Mizrach Darim corner. Why does one Mishnah describe it this way, one Mishnah the other? It just depends on which direction you're coming from, and it's relative to your angle, but in reality, all agree that the Lishkas were situated in the same exact place. We concluded with the Kohen Gadol's privilege to go ahead and be makriv any carbon, to eat any carbon, and we concluded regarding his chelik of the lechem, lechem apanim, moshtel lechem manashvus. We have a pasuk which says, voisel Aaron lebanov. We have machlekes how to interpret that pasuk. Rabbi holds, Aaron gets 50% and his children 50%. Rabbanu maintain, although he gets a rather large sized portion, but it's within the chalukah configuration. He has to split it with them. He's not 50%, he's not equal in value to all of them combined. He has to do a chalukah, although he gets a large chalukah, but less than 50%. We had a brisa, and we had two ways to interpret the brisa, according to Rebbe, or according to the Rabbah. Hatzlacha Rabbah to you and Kol Tov.